Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. We are so grateful that you are here, and we hope you enjoy this message.
Today, because we're talking about two different concepts, and I feel like these two concepts are in tension in our lives, that we're always trying to, almost like a balancing or juggling act, but we're trying to keep one up, and it's like we're going back and forth, and some days maybe we're good at it, and then some days we feel like this hand's back up and the other tension is moving back up. And I can see this some in my marriage, and I don't know if you've had a particular relationship with someone, and you two just sometimes are on two different wavelengths. I don't know if you've experienced that before. Sometimes, just kind of funny is when my kids do something that just irritates me. You ever like fly off the handle a little bit? I mean, that's every once in a while, that's me, right? Welcome to fatherhood. But I'm experiencing this, and sometimes I'll get mad and I'll just kind of like, oh, so mad, and I'll just like go extreme off the other end. I'm like, bah, you can't get on electronics for the rest of your life, right? Like, yeah, no more, like until you're 30. And my wife's just over there like, great, awesome. Like, this is gonna be like real good. She's just kind of looking at me like, really, Daniel, is that what's gonna happen? And I'm like, you know, my little three-year-old, I'm like, look, you don't get your stuffed toy, it's mine now, not yours. Never again will you see this. Cruelty, I know, but like you just happen and then like you just fly off the handle and go way off to the extreme, and my wife's just like, really? Like, you had to go there? No Christmas? No vacation? Like, what's happening here? Like, you went too far, Daniel, too far. But we see that back and forth, and we have these two ideas where one person or one mindset or one day we're thinking that, hey, everything is okay, and then all of a sudden, boom, like boom, other end of the spectrum. It feels like I'm completely out of control. I don't know what's going to happen next, and I've just made this complete left turn. I feel like I need some wisdom. I need some discernment. I need some, hey, how do I pull this back together? And it's like almost this juggling game back and forth. And even with our emotions, it can feel like a roller coaster of up and down and up and down. And then we can even think about, hey, when I'm moving forward, how do I know, especially in my walk with God, how do I know when I just need to muster down and put some work into it? And how do I know when I need to just step back and yield to what God is doing in my life? And it's like, you know, is this a game of back and forth, and what should I do, and where should I stand, and how should I mindset? What should this look like in my life? And I'm glad you're asking these questions, because today in Philippians chapter 2, we are going to look at this. And I believe the Apostle Paul speaks this so powerfully in Philippians chapter 2. And if you missed the last 2 weeks, I encourage you to go listen to on the podcast, because we set up Philippians, and then we talked about Philippians chapter 1, and then Jordan last week talked about the end of Philippians chapter 1, and God is just really speaking. And so it'll get you caught back up to where we are today. And so we're going to read Philippians chapter 2, verses 1 through 11, and then we're going to come back and refer back to some of these verses. You guys still with me? All right. Verse 1, it says, "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form. He humbled himself by becoming obedient." Circle that, highlight that, we're going to come back to it, "to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Man, what a powerful verse. And I love the Apostle Paul. He ends there with just this strong right hook. And Paul sets this up. And he's preaching and he's talking and he's writing to the Philippian church. And he's saying, hey, I long, my heart loves what you're doing and what God is doing there. But to keep that fire going, to keep that kindled fire roaring inside of your congregation, roaring inside of your people group there in the church of Philippi, I want you to understand that if you want to complete my joy, have the same mind, same love. And he's saying, let's all have that unity together, because when we have that same mind, when we have that same heart, we see experience this next level kind of joy inside the community. And not only that, as we talked about in week one, that when we see others living their lives for Christ and we're running alongside of them, it increases our joy to say, I have some brothers and sisters with me in this race and in this opportunity. And so for us to understand that unity comes when we all do our part. We all have a part to play, and God has gifted us, each and every person, with spiritual gifts and other kind of emotional gifts and the way to interact and socialize with other people, and that each one of us have a specific part to play. And I tell you that every person that plugs into the local church and uses their gift strengthens the local church in that. And it's not this divisive of every time somebody new comes in, it's like, oh, we got to compete, manipulate, power move, all those things. No, it's like, yes, we get stronger. It's like we're on the mission field in the middle of a war and a new platoon comes. They're like, yes, my backup is here. Like, we are ready to go. It's not a competition thing, because it's the same mission. And for us as the body of Christ, as people come in to say, yes, we're on the same mission. God has called us to move forward. And when we all plug in and we all do our part, God strengthens us in that. And I like to think back. I don't really play an instrument. That's not my gift set or wheelhouse. My wife, she can play a couple different instruments. And in high school, fun fact, she played the bassoon. You don't know what that is? Neither do I. Neither did I until she started playing that. But she played the bassoon in orchestra. And I remember going to the orchestra, and I have a deep respect for people who can just play instruments and, in fact, can sing. Like, I love seeing those videos, these guys in competitions, just God-given talent, just get up and sing and captivate a crowd. But the orchestra comes, and it's so powerful, because one instrument is great. But when that whole orchestra and everybody plays their notes to the T and everybody is in sync and everybody comes together, it creates this symphony of sound, right? And it's coming together and it's beautiful and it's amazing, and they're all different. They're not all uniform. They're all different, but God uses them and to create an incredible sound. And I believe as the church, we come together. We're not have to be this factory made, everybody coming through the assembly line, but yet God's created us unique to do our part, to have the same mind and the same opportunities that God has called us to. But he wraps it in something. He's saying the way that we have the same mind, the same heart, the way that we walk in unison together. He gives us this concept here. He says in verses 3 and 4, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. He is saying, hey, we can bind closer and closer together when we, he's saying, hey, when we walk with humility. He's like, don't come in and think, hey, I have all this. I have this personal selfish ambition of, hey, I want to do this. I want to do that. This is what I want to do. This is how I want to move and move up almost like a power play. Or sometimes when we do things out of selfish ambition, there can be some manipulation. I don't know if you've experienced that before. That if somebody has a selfish motive, it's, hey, this is not happening fast enough, or I'm not seeing this out of you, so I wonder if I can manipulate the situation. I wonder if I can manipulate your thought process or your heart. And if you're on the receiving end of that, doesn't it just feel kind of cheap? Like, wait, like you don't feel like we have this faith connection of trust that at the right time that this will happen. And God is saying, I don't want that divisiveness to happen. No, but walk in humility. And he's saying, hey, don't think about, count others as more significant as yourself. And if you're like me, when you think about the word humility or walking humbly before God, I believe there is this wrestling of going, okay, what does humility really look like? Like, does this play? Does this just mean, hey, stand back and let people run all over you? Does this mean kind of step back and, hey, just, okay, whatever you say happens, whatever you say goes. Like, I'm going to count you as more important. So you do your thing. Yeah. I'm here to support you. But Paul gives us a little different picture. And if we look at the word he uses, he's saying, but in humility, count others more significant than yourself. He didn't say think of others as better than yourself. He uses the word significant. He's saying, hey, in that relationship, when you're face to face with them, say, hey, I'm coming before you, and right now I want to help you. I want to help you get to where God's called you to be. And I believe we can see this beautiful picture that if Millen comes to church and he's saying, hey, Daniel, how can I help you get to where God's called you to be? And I walk into church, I'm like, hey, Millen, how can I help you get to where God's called you to be? All of a sudden, a platform is being built, and each of us are doing our part, and we're building each other up, and there's no room for selfish ambition or conceit, because I can just look to my brother or sister in Christ and go, look how God is using them to build me up. I believe God's called us to be. I love this term. There's a pastor in Australia, he calls this, and he says, be king and queen builders. To look out and to find the gold in people that God has placed in them. And he's saying, hey, I want you to build up the kingdom of God and raising people up, not out of selfish ambition. But he also gives us a little nugget here. He says, count them as more significant as yourself. And let each of you not only look out for his own interests. He said, I love that, because he doesn't say, hey, just disregard what you need and only think about what they need. He says, let each of you not only look out for your own interests, like, yeah, you build off of what you are doing, but also look after their interests too. And I believe there is something here. If you're taking notes, I love to give just like little coat hangers to hang our notes on. But in order to live in humility, our validation must come from God and not others. Our validation must come from God and Scripture and not others. And I believe that Paul is teaching this, and he is saying, hey, you are made in Christ's image. Like, you have been transformed, made new in Christ. And now when you look to help other people, you don't have to be validated by them. And I believe when we have to be validated by them, that's when the power move comes in. That's when the manipulation comes in. But I can come in fully whole in Christ, and I can come alongside of you and going, hey, look, I understand we're going to walk in this thing together. How can I help you? How can I walk with you in this? Because I'm already whole in Christ. And so many times, I think sometimes we can get into a relationship, and I'm a people pleaser guy. Like, God just put that personality on me, and I wrestle with this a lot. If I'm being vulnerable with you, right? Like, I wrestle with this a lot. But God is saying, hey, your validation has to come through Christ and in Christ. Because if it is not, you're going to feel dry. You're going to feel like you're not getting everything that you need, almost malnourished, because they don't have everything you need. But Jesus is the bread of life. He is living water, and it overflows in us, and he will speak that truth into our life, and our validation can come in and through Christ. And that's what our foundation is built off of. And he's saying, that's what your humility is built off of. People aren't walking all over you and doing all these things. No, I'm already made whole in Christ, and now I can use that as a launching pad. That is my starting pad to walk in humility. And I believe Christ showed us this, and he lived this as an example. And the Apostle Paul starts teaching, and he's unpacking this, and he's saying, hey, this is what I want you to understand, and this is how Jesus lived his life. Because then he transitions and he uses Jesus as an example. And he's saying, just like Christ came and left heaven and walked this earth, and he had every right to come in and say, everybody bow to me, every knee will bow, everyone will come. But yet Jesus came and said, you know what? I know who I am. I know that I am God. I don't have to come in and tell everybody I'm God. I'm going to come in and show everybody who I am. I'm going to live it out. And he's saying, hey, I'm going to walk in humility, and I'm going to think about my disciples. And when I walk into the crowd, I'm going to think, who needs healing? Who needs love? Who needs to be shown mercy today? Who needs to be shown grace? Who needs to be redirected to the truth, right? Like, as he's talking to Pharisees, he's always looking outward, because he's already validated in who he is. And I believe for you and I, it is so important to say the first start and go, God, I need to be made whole in you. And that means, one, starting a relationship with him. If you've never started a relationship with him, that's starting that. And two, I believe as a believer, that's one of those concepts that we toil with back and forth and saying, hey, I want this person to like me. And I think it's even a level of healthiness that I want to influence people. But God is saying our true and utmost validation must come from only through Christ. And then Jesus goes and continues to teach us about this idea. And he's saying, hey, now I want you to humble yourself. But the funny thing about the kingdom, it's almost like the bank account of kingdom is backwards, right? It's not like, hey, I'm going to work hard, get on the grind on Monday, right? Grind on Tuesday, and I'm going to make money, and I'm going to do all these things. It's like the bank account of heaven is saying, hey, I want you to empty your bank account, and then I will lift you up. I want you to spiritually empty yourself for those around you, and then allow me to lift you up. And he's saying sometimes we can get it backwards as we're wrestling. Matthew 23 says it this way. It says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And I love that. Excuse me. I love that because the disciples in this story where this verse is pulled from, the disciples are arguing over who is greater. They're arguing over who can be more, who can be raised up. And Jesus goes, whoa. Whoever exalts themselves will be humbled, but whoever humbles themselves, then I will lift them up. And this is a beautiful picture, this imagery of Jesus is saying, hey, I almost titled this message, whose hand are you in? Because I believe we can put ourselves in our own hand and going, God, I got this, right? Like, I can do it. Like, I'm going to handle this today. I'm going to look, they said this about me. God, I got this revenge, right? Like, I got it. Like, I'm going to handle this and go back. And he said, we put ourselves in our own hand and try to lift our own lives up, try to work real hard, all those things. And God is going, wait, look, if you will trust me and you will step into my hand, then you will humble yourself and say, God, it is your will, your plan, your desires for my life. And when I step into God's hand, then his all-powerful hand will lift us up. But not until, scripture says, not until we humble ourselves, not until we get to the point in our life where we are going, God, I can't do this on my own. God, this is too hard, too crazy, and I need you to intercede on my behalf, Jesus. I need your plan for my life, and I need your timing for my life. God, I need you in this moment. I love 1 Peter 5:7. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. I heard this podcast about 2 weeks ago, and I love to study people who are great, like at their profession. And of course, for me as a pastor, I love to study the pastors who have gone before us and their lives. And this one guy was being mentored by Billy Graham. And I don't know if you know who Billy Graham is. He was a huge evangelist worldwide. And in the 70s and 80s were really like his big prime. He was called the America's Pastor. And he was just describing Billy Graham's way of life. And that every time Billy Graham entered into a room, he went to every single person and shook their hand and said, hey, my name is Billy Graham. Hey, my name is Billy Graham. Hey, my name is Billy Graham. He could be in a room full of pastors at a speaking conference that he was asked to speak at. And he would walk in and go, hey, my name's Billy Graham. Hey, my name's Billy Graham. All these things. And he said that I would watch him do that. And he'd be like, pull Billy to the side and Billy, they all know who you are. Like, you're Billy Graham. Like, come on, what are you talking about? But his mindset was like, hey, I'm no better than anybody else. Like, I don't walk into a room and go, hey, here I am. Here's Billy Graham. Here's Daniel Casney. Woo, here we go. Everybody, right? He's saying, no, hey, I'm walking to the room and there they are. There they are. I'm here for you. What can I do? How can I walk for you? How can I pray for you? How can I walk with you in this journey? And I just love that mindset. And we see this says, humble yourselves, humble yourselves. And I read that in scripture. I'm reading Philippians 2. And it just hit me for a moment. I was like, wow, we can humble ourselves. And in fact, God is saying, hey, humble yourself. Because when you humble yourself, then under God's mighty hand, he will lift you up in due time. And I see that, and of course, you know, for me, I'm like, down. I'm like, yes, okay, how do I humble myself? How do I do this, God? Can you give me the equation? Can you help me out here? And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 8, I'm getting excited. You guys getting excited? Here we go. Verse 8, I believe that Apostle Paul gives us this, and he illuminates this, gives us this revelation of saying, hey, you want to humble yourself? Here's what it looks like. In verse 8, it says, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming what? obedient even to the point of death on a cross. And he sets it up and he's saying, hey, humble yourselves. And he's saying, Christ showed us the way. And he's saying, you can humble yourself the way that Christ humbled himself. And he humbled himself by being in obedience. And I want to give you another one here. If you're taking notes, the road of humility is paved with obedience. The road of humility is paved with obedience. That he gives us this and he's saying, when we walk in obedience, we walk in humility, because God is going to show us the way to walk in humility every single step of the way. That you and I, we just need to focus on obedience, because sometimes it's hard, as we talked about. It's like, do I focus on this? Do I focus on that? Do I need to act this way? Do I need to act tough? Do I need to act confident here? Do I need to be meek here? Like, what do I need to do, God? And God is going, hey, what I want you to focus on is being obedient. What I want you to focus on is walking with me, following the Spirit, yielding to the Spirit each and every way. And 1 Peter 5:7 says that he will lift you up in due time. I don't know about you, but sometimes I wrestle with due time. Right? Like, due time. Like, come on, God. Like, I feel like it's due time. Like, right? This is it. But being obedient is stepping back and going, God, it's your time. And sometimes we are ready for the elevation, for the exalting to happen. And God is going, hey, I know you best. I created you. There's still a process that I have you in. And I want you to continue to learn that. I want you to follow me. One of my favorite things to do as a dad is to push my kids to the limit. Sounds crazy, I know. But I, like, whatever they're doing, like, they could be swimming. And I'm like, ooh, you see that? Like, the other day we were swimming at Paris Island Pool. It was pretty awesome. And they had this big, huge, like, little wall thing. And my oldest son, Lucas, he loves doing all that kind of stuff. And this wall, like, the grown men were trying to do it, and they couldn't make it. And I was like, Lucas, go try to do that climbing wall. Like, you, like, come on, you can do it. Like, I think you can try, right? Like, you may can do it. And of course, I know he's going to fall, but for him to try it and to see and to wrestle with that. But I love that moment, because I can sense in his eyes that he's almost like, are you sure? Like, did mom say we could do this? Right? Like probably not. She was in Honduras. Okay, let's go. But they're wrestling with that, but I love that. And I believe that God wants that same relationship with us. And he's saying, hey, I want you to reach your full potential here on earth. And it may be scary. It may be fearful. And you may be going, God, are you sure I can do this? Like, is this okay? Like, should I take this step? And God is going, trust me. Humble yourself. You can humble yourself by being obedient to Christ, by stepping into his plan, stepping into his walk and going, God, I humble myself before you. I want to be obedient to you and to your plan inside of my life. And this last little saying here is, obedience is doing what God says. It's that almost like, hey, is that too elementary? I don't think so, because in that moment, it can be so hard in times of our lives. Of going, God, how do I walk in humility? And Jesus is saying, hey, be obedient to me. Walk in my plan. Do what I say. Call me in this. And I want you to experience what this looks like inside of our lives. And I want to end just by saying this here today. And the band's going to come back up. We're going to sing one last song together. It's called King of My Heart, and how God just wrestles inside of our life and inside of our heart. But I believe when you and I take the position and go, you know what? We're going to humble ourselves today. I'm going to come before God and say, God, I want to be obedient to you. And the beautiful thing about humble yourself is that no matter where you are in your life today, you and I can start right here. We can start right now. We can start today. Jesus is saying, hey, the ball's in your court. The ball is ready to go. If you're ready to step in, you're ready to take that step of faith, it starts right here, right now. And I believe God wants to encourage you. He wants to refresh you. He wants you to walk into who he is. And I just want to read this last few verses again, because we need to understand who Jesus is, who is asking us to step out in faith, who is asking us to step out in obedience. In verse 9, it says, therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's who we follow. That's who we take our marching orders from. That's who we are humbling ourselves to. no matter how scary it may be. And with it being Father's Day, I would love just to challenge every man in the room and saying, God is calling you. He's calling I to step up and be who God has called us to be. And he's saying, hey, I've been placed in you such a mighty calling to reach out and to influence those around you. You and I know we can beat around the bush all we want to, but something changes when you walk into your house and you open up your door and say, hey, we're going to humble ourselves before God. We're going to walk in obedience. I believe something starts to shift when the men in our lives start to do those in our society and in our family. And I believe God wants to raise up God. Godly men, and I believe as godly men step up, we will literally see the world around us change. Amen. I believe God can do incredible things, but it starts here. He says, humble ourselves. Let's walk in obedience to Him. And I believe God wants that for your life. So maybe today, your first step of obedience is to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Because you need your validation to come from Him and not others. And you'll be searching for the rest of your life for the void that is in your heart. And the only way it can be fulfilled is through Jesus Christ. And He's saying, I want to fulfill that. And then that's what you build your life off of, to be obedient to Him. And so I want to pray with us. If you would, just for a sense of privacy, let's bow our heads and let's pray together. And if you want to pray to receive Jesus this morning, let's pray. Let's say this prayer together. This prayer doesn't save you. It's the confession of your heart, confession of your life, confession of your mouth to Jesus. And maybe you just say something like this to God. God, I know that I need you in my life. God, that I don't have a relationship with you. That I have sin in my life. God, and I give all of that to you.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Thank you for visiting us for this podcast. If you would like more information on The Bridge Church, please visit us at www.thebridgebluffton.com.